You are my son whom I love, in you I am well pleased. Such simple words, really. Spoken by a father about his beloved son, a gracious acknowledgement of the responsibility of fathering. You are my son whom I love, and you I am well pleased. The word father is a wonderful noun. It can describe a person in your life that is good and healthy and helpful, and making a lasting imprint on your life forever. But it is also a verb, isn't it? It's a noun and a verb. We often refer to someone who is mothering someone, but how often do we say that somebody is fathering someone? It's an interesting thing because many people struggle with the idea. Irma Bombeck wrote these words about her father. One morning, my father didn't get up and go to work. He went to the hospital and died the next day. I hadn't thought that much about him before. He was just someone who left and came home and seemed glad to see everybody at night. He opened the jar of pickles when no one else could. He was the only one in the house who wasn't afraid to go into the basement all by himself. He cut himself shaving, but no one kissed it or got excited about it. It was understood that when it rained, he got the car and brought it around the door where we waited. When anyone got sick, he went to get the prescriptions filled. He took lots of pictures, but he was in very few of them. Whenever I played house, the mother doll had a lot to do. I never knew what to do with the daddy doll. So I had him say, "I'm going to work now," and then I threw him under the bed. The funeral was in our living room, and a lot of people came and brought all kinds of good food and cake. We never had so much company before. I went under my bed to feel for the daddy doll, and when I found him, I dusted him off, and I put him on my bed. He never did anything that I remember, but I didn't know that his leaving would hurt so much. There are so many fathers who choose to worship on a day like today as a way of celebrating the tremendous privilege and responsibility of fathering. But you can't blame those who aren't in church today. I mean, what do we do on Mother's Day? We give out certificates and flowers, and we lift up mothers for the terrific work that they do. We sing songs about them, and there's tremendous sense of joy in the air. But as a father, I will tell you, it's not traditionally been the way that the church has celebrated, because too many sermons and too many churches, Father's Day, the message is very simple, very clear. Fathers, you don't measure up. There's a tremendous load of guilt passed around, and fathers who are made to feel inadequate in so many areas of their lives are singled out today and told, "You are not doing enough. You are not good enough as a father." Now, you may be shocked by that, but I've been doing this for 35 years, and I get to read other ministers' sermons and listen to them and such. And that's the message. In fact, in seminary, they told us you might just want to skip Father's Day completely because so many people have negative views of their dads. I was appalled by that. I am aware, as never before, just how gifted the men of the church are, how challenged they are, how they soar in the tasks of fathering their children. Whenever you are in any church with children, which we don't have many children in this church, but wherever you are with that, you see them working, trying to keep one that's going that way and one that's going that way and keep them together without losing any of them. You see them in the courtyards and the playgrounds of churches everywhere. And I will tell you that the men of the church, our fathers, are doing a great job. And they need to feel our support and our encouragement. They need to know that we understand that it is difficult. The many challenges of being a father in today's world, we need to lift them up in prayer to God for blessings and strength and guidance and insight. Fathers represent a unique and wonderful relationship. So today is a very special day. For many, you know, I have an opportunity when I stand in the pulpit to bring myself up here sometimes. I preached at my father's funeral. No one else could do it. I insisted, and my brothers are all chickens, so they didn't do it. But they sang. Everybody did some part, but I had been preaching for a number of years. And I can't exactly remember all that I said. And so I went into my files this week, and I have a little section in my files that's all dead people. Yeah, You think it doesn't happen, but I keep those messages, and I'll go back and I'll remember what I said at somebody's funeral years ago and such. And I got out the notes from my dad. So one of the things that I remember saying is that my dad was a big person. He was a big man. Not big size-wise, but big in personality. I know you find that surprising because I'm such a shrinking violet myself, but... But I said at the very beginning, if it's up to my dad, and I can't remember who it was that said this particular quote, but it was my dad. He wanted to be the corpse at every funeral and the bride at every wedding. Yeah. So it was. I remember that, though. But I thought about the last day that I saw him, and I wondered, did I realize it? Did I realize I would not have that ever again? Here was a man who changed diapers, who made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. He taught me how to hold a golf club and mow a yard. Stayed up with me at night when I was sick. Came to all of my concerts that he could. And there were a lot of concerts. The man had an incredible endurance, but he came anyway. He laughed when I first tried to shave using his razor. He checked all my homework. And through all of that, I realized that my dad was dying. And he looked at me with a sort of a startled expression on his face that last visit. And he said, "What are they saying? Are they saying that I'm dying?" And because he also taught me the value of humor, I said, "No, Dad, not today. But the relatives from Kentucky are here, and it just feels like you're dying." If you have relatives from Kentucky, you know what I'm talking about, which is okay, right? I mean, you're from Kentucky, aren't you? No? All right. Over the time of his death, I was so blessed by some words that a federal judge in my church shared with me about his dad. I didn't know at the time that he was speaking for God when he said about the death of his father, quote, "I think I grieve for him every day because every day I am overwhelmed with the fact that I will never see him again, talk to him, ask him questions, or listen to the answers again. He was my mentor and the dominant force of my life, so I am left with memories." Those are words from God. Sociologists tell us that the role of a father is critical in the formation of a child's character and self-esteem and spiritual development. Our memories of our fathers will influence many of the decisions we make throughout the course of our lives, from whom we marry to the career choices that we make, our parenting styles, and even our view and response to God. How counselors now often refer to the tapes that we play in our minds that come from the words and phrases that our parents used while we were being raised. For many of us, those tapes are filled with upbuilding and encouraging phrases that help us to feel secure and confident. The capacity to love and be loved is a tape that plays in our head all the time, but sadly, not all the tapes are that way. Sometimes those tapes can lead to a lifetime of pain and confusion. That's why on Father's Day weekend, I want to talk with fathers about the words and phrases that we use with our children and our grandchildren. Words that need to be said and then lived out in everyday circumstances. That leads me to our text. This is a wonderful bit of scripture immediately following Jesus' baptism as he prepares to launch into his public ministry. God the Father offers these words to Jesus the Son. "You are my son whom I love. In you I am well pleased." And while it's true we can never fully grasp the mysterious nature of the relationship between God and Jesus the Son, there is clearly a wonderful message being delivered from the Father to the Son. I want to simply walk through that message and look at the phrases that we have there with one another. Let me begin with a phrase that sounds like the emptiest cliche in the world. I'm going to use it anyway because I am convinced that it is the single most important phrase that a child can hear from his or her father or grandfather. It is the phrase that you can hear 10,000 times and still want to hear it again just as badly as the next time. And you know what the phrase is, right? "I love you. I love you." That is what God said to his unique child. "You are my son whom I love." Experts in child development say that in order to develop a healthy self-esteem, a child must sense an irrational level of love coming from his or her parents, love that exceeds all expectations, love that makes the child feel treasured and not just tolerated. If they don't feel that unconditional, irrational love, there's an easy sense of absence that causes a lot of confusion and a lot of pain. We all know people who have jacked their whole lives out of shape trying to earn the affection and the approval of parents who maybe provided food and shelter but didn't provide the emotional warmth that came from saying those three words, "I love you." One of the teachers, Wade Huey at Columbia Seminary, we had a small group with him, and he was the teacher preaching on the side as well. But he was talking about his dad and how every day that he comes to work, every time he goes into the pulpit, everything that he did as a pastor was to try to impress his dad. And I said, "Wade, that is wonderful. What's so bad about that?" And he said, "My dad died 10 years ago. You see what he was doing? He was trying everything that he could to earn his father's approval that he never got." That's why early on I determined that I would say "I love you" to my family over and over and over again until they are absolutely sick of hearing it, because I never want them to wonder about that. Some years ago I said these words to my son Michael, and he rolled his eyes and he said, "I know, Dad." And I said, "Well, how do you know?" And he said, "Because you've told me about 1,000,000,000 times." And I thought, well, that's about right. And I'm going to keep on saying the words because I never want him, or for that matter, you, to wonder that I love you. I do. I love you. And that's not all, because if it's just a matter of saying the words, we could probably manage that. We could just put a reminder in our phones, you know, when we hang up, that it says automatically, "I love you," or something like that. I'm sure there's some way to do that. Or try to remind ourselves once a week to do it. But you and I know that it's more than just saying the words. For those words have lasting impact. They must be made flesh through tangible acts that communicate love in ways that our kids can see, feel, and experience. We see this reflected in the text. The text notes that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus bodily. The Father not only says the words, but he includes a physical touch of love to go with that. Now, like I said, I spoke at my father's funeral, and it was a tremendous challenge, but one that I wanted to embrace, because throughout the eulogy, I wasn't remembering one specific conversation or some great pivotal moment in our experiences. I was remembering the little things my dad did, a box of macaroni and cheese and spaghetti dinners and chaperoned dates. $20. $20 slipped into my wallet when I took my new bride back to our apartment just to help out a little bit. Little touches of love which over the course of a lifetime gave power and depth to the words, "I love you," so that I knew at the core of my soul that I was loved by my dad. The things you say and do for and with your children and grandchildren can impact them for the rest of their lives, causing them to say, "My dad had an inexplicable, irrational, specific, consistent love for me that I both heard and experienced." It's very hard for a kid to grasp the complete love of the Heavenly Father when they don't taste it for the love of their earthly father. So that leaves us to a second phrase suggested in our text, "I believe in you." And the Father says to Jesus, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." In other words, as you get ready to begin the public aspect of your ministry, Jesus, a ministry that's going to be filled with challenges and hardships and misunderstandings and rejections and ultimately will lead you to the cross, before you start down the road, I want you to know that I believe in you. Dads, listen to me. You are raising children in a world that is changing at a breathtaking rate, with the rate of technological change, the rate of change going on in the marketplace, in culture, and political realm. One of the best gifts we can give to our children is a sense of confidence that they will be able to exist and compete and even thrive in a world that constantly changes. I think one of the differences between parents can be seen on a playground. Have you ever watched how parents interact? Now that I have grandbabies, I can watch this a lot easier because I'm not so worried about them. I know that they will survive the playground. But anyway, you know, what's that thing that they crawl across? It's absolutely well named, the monkey bars. I mean, they never name anything better than that. Well, you got a mom and a dad up there, and you'll hear two different things. Mom says, "Be careful, be careful, be careful." What does the dad say? "You can do it. Go for it. You can do it." That's right. It's the difference in the way that we look at it. I will tell you that Jesus was a master at this sort of thing. Remember when he changed Simon's name to Peter, which means rock? Jesus is saying to a rather unsteady, emotional, explosive kind of guy, Simon, I'm changing your name to Peter, or rock, because I believe that you are going to become a stable, rock-like foundation for the church. I believe in you, Simon. So every time I call you Peter, which is what I'm going to be calling you from now on, every time I call you that name, I'm saying I believe in you. I believe in your character. I believe in your talents and skills. I believe in your faith in the Father. I believe in your future. I believe in you, Peter. And in the end, even though he stumbled along the way, Peter lived up to every single belief in him. Every child needs the affirmation that and approval of their parents, and especially the approval of their fathers. Sometimes this need for affirmation drives individuals for years to achieve and accomplish so that one day there might be the words from their father, I am proud of you. Now, I think most of us are pretty good about affirming our kids when we see them excel at academics or athletics, or they grow older and their career succeeds. And it's appropriate that we do so, but let me take this a little deeper. How often do we tell our kids that we are proud of them, not just for what they have done, but because of the people they are becoming? When they handled failure well, when they hung in there and finished strong, even though it would have been easy to quit, when they saw a need and selflessly gave of themselves to meet that need. And what about expressing pride when we see them growing spiritually, trusting God, learning to pray, growing in Christ-like character, and so on? I want to suggest that now is the time to start liberally spreading the affirmation, not just for the things that our children, grandchildren do to accomplish, but the people that are becoming, the character that is being formed in them. And once again, I tell you that these words are not just reserved for fathers to share with their kids. They are words that need to be shared liberally with people God places in our lives every day. It's everywhere. Fathers are different. Some are big, some are small, some have blonde, brown, black hair, some have no hair at all. But to a small child, that doesn't matter at all. What their father looks like is meaningless. In their eyes, he's 10 feet tall, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, repair broken toys, and heal broken hearts with hugs and kisses. And with great medical expertise, they're able to pick out splinters with a little dull thing and tiny fingers. They can wash cuts and scratches and skillfully apply bandages while they wipe away tears and smudgy faces and send their kids out filled with comfort and confidence. They can conquer the world. Or at least the backyard. Fathers have big hands. Some are rough and callous from hard manual work, or soft and well-kept while pushing computer keys. But these big hands can boost small children into swings and push them higher and higher. They balance the bicycle while little hands and feet are learning to work together to pedal and steer that birthday bike and to let go and let them go further on their own, running fast behind to catch them when they do. Fathers have big hearts. They're filled with love and marvel at these children who greet each day with excitement and expectation of new and wonderful things to be touched, explored, and shared. One of the most exciting things Michael ever said to me, we were sleeping on a sailboat in the Kentucky River, and we got him out of school so we could do this little trip down the Kentucky River. And we took a nap because we spent the entire morning looking at stuff all around us. And he tapped me on the head, you know, wake up, Dad. Let's go find some stuff we don't know about. Well, I love that. And to this day, it still gives me a little shiver that he wanted to do that. And who did he want to do it with? See, those big hearts, fathers, can be filled with tears as we stand over the crib in the middle of the night praying for a feverish child, picking them up, cuddling them close. This is what we do. And as one father said to his son, you are my son whom I love. In you I am well pleased. Let us pray for that. Our Father, we are so aware that today is a very special day to recognize very special people. And while we focus on the role of fathers, we know that this is not clear-cut, because some of us that are fathers are mothers too, and mothers that are fathers, and it all blurs together. But the reality is you give us this wonderful opportunity to touch the lives of other people, including our children and grandchildren, but other people outside the walls of this church. Do we take that commitment to making people better outside and share it freely. We know that you look at us and you say those same wonderful words, I love you, I love you. And in you, I am well pleased. Help us as we seek to live that out in very concrete ways with the people around us, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.